Moncrief on News Talk.
Brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again.
What do Hans Christian Andersen, Augustus Caesar, and Steve Jobs all have in common? They were all afflicted by phobias, and they're certainly not the only ones.
Rats. When I was a kid, I used to wake up during the night with nightmares. They were walking all over me. That memory has stayed with me for my whole life.
When I was a kid, I was scared of thunder because my grandmother used to shriek if there was thunder.
I hate spiders. I hate spiders.
It's me or the spider.
I fear spiders.
Yeah, they're like, if there's even one like on my desk at work or something, it's like, I'm like, I'm not working today, sick day, can't make it.
One in 20 men and one in 10 women are phobic in some way or another, from fears of buttons to fear of feathers. A lot of us under the surface are scaredy cats.
One of my friends is terrified of cats. So we have cats that keep coming to our house and Joey can't handle it. Joey just runs away every time. If you drink and he runs upstairs.
Very sorry. Aside from being socially embarrassing, some phobias can be truly life-limiting and even dangerous to those who have them. Salvador Dali was afraid of small insects, for example, and took a razor blade to his back when he thought they were under his skin.
The more somebody actually realizes I've an irrational fear, the better.
But how do we get phobias? What is their use in modern times? And what role is tech playing in spreading them further and stamping them out?
A phobia is a type of anxiety in many ways, and it's become fixated on one specific thing.
Stella O'Malley is a psychotherapist who treats people with phobias in her practice.
And it's often a certain type of brain is more comfortable with a phobia than the kind of pervasive anxiety that somebody else might have.
Some phobias may seem ridiculous, but actually have a latent rationale. The fear of snakes, for example, would have been useful to our ancestors fleeing danger. But a fear of sponges seems a little less logical.
I've heard of a fear of being without your smartphone. Ablutophobia is fear of bathing or washing. You could say a few people, a lot of teenagers have that.
Benjamin Rush, founding father of the United States of America, is better known in the psychological community for identifying phobias. Rush caused a rush of diagnoses during the 19th century. And while it might seem like there's a phobia for everything now, that's because basically there is.
Scorpions.
Arachnophobia.
Tiny to sting themselves. And if they sting themselves, they're quite happy to sting me too.
The dark. Nyctophobia.
The dark, yeah. I'll let my partner turn off the lights. I'll run into bed, he'll turn off the lights, and then we go to sleep.
If your partner isn't there, what happens?
Yeah, I would go over to my mum's house. At 32 years of age, that's absolutely what I would do. And no shame.
I'm actually a little bit scared of birds.
Ornithophobia.
Droves of birds coming at me, yes. And that comes from watching the Hitchcock movie The Birds when I was a kid, far too young.
Fear of animals and insects is a very common one. But as your mother will have told you, the spider is probably more scared of you than you are of it. Or in this case, the parrot.
So this is Benjamin. Benjamin is a macaw, blue and gold. So he's really afraid of loud noises. So cars, anyone screaming, or if kids see him from very far, they start oh my god, I know what I mean. He gets a little bit scared of that. I think he wants to.
He's biting the microphone.
There are upwards of 500 phobias with official names, but due to their abundance, psychologists rarely now go to the trouble of naming them. In fact, the last phobia to be officially named was trypophobia, the fear of a pattern of holes. The term was officially coined in 2005 when an Irish woman called Louise wrote to the Oxford English Dictionary with the correct Greek version of the term.
All fear and anxiety is quite contagious. So if I became very anxious about something like holes, the pattern of holes, clusters of holes, it's either I'm a fool for being anxious or you're a fool for not being anxious. And the anxious person tends to sell it to people.
Phobias being contagious is not a new phenomenon. As Louis Pasteur's germ theory came to the fore in the 19th century, germophobia spread like a disease, with young women across Europe refusing to handle newspapers or even money. However, social media has the potential to spread more phobias exponentially further, which hasn't gone unnoticed by anxious businesses everywhere.
Do you have an irrational fear of mayo? An unwarranted hatred of a simple sauce? Well, you are not alone. Kraft Mayo. They've developed a step-by-step program where you can slowly increase your dosage over the course of 4 months to acclimate yourself to Kraft Mayo.
But the business of show has been using phobias for profits for many decades now.
Horror films, they tend to be less sci-fi and special effects based, so they tend to be more inexpensive than, say, an action film or a drama. So they've always been quite profitable.
Esther McCarthy is a film critic of Movies and Booze fame.
Filmmakers prefer to call them now, a lot of the time, psychological thrillers. And I think that really feeds into the whole idea of using fear effectively to play with the film viewers' primal fears and what's going on in their heads. There's filmmakers like, say, Ari Aster, who made a film called Midsommar a few years ago, which manipulates very common fears like drowning and being burnt alive. Yeah, the clown was used very effectively in both the It movies. You know, there's some quite nasty and very real, fearsome stuff that goes on in the second movie in particular.
Psychologists actually saw a spike of chlorophobia, the fear of clowns, in 2019 with the release of It 2. Though now a fairly common fear, clowns only went from Ronald McDonald to the Joker in the late 1970s, when part-time clown John Wayne Gacy was unmasked as a prolific serial killer. However, according to Stella O'Malley, there is a certain amount of misdiagnosis going on.
The cultural context we're living in is very into using clinical language to describe our feelings. And so rather than being scared of something, we're phobic. And everybody loses because people who have clinical diagnosis think, do other people have this clinical diagnosis and they're just handling it better? And the people who don't have, they've an over-the-top descriptor of a pretty everyday experience.
Some phobias could be suspected of covering otherwise unacceptable behaviour. For example, Elizabeth I's fear of the dark explained why she had to have someone else sleep in bed with her at night time. Convenient enough for the famously virginal queen. But other phobias may be a symptom of a larger mental health issue, like OCD or undiagnosed anxiety.
Phobias can become quite intense and quite acute, but it's actually pretty easy to treat. Whereas sometimes the more generalized types of anxieties and fears, those are actually more difficult.
Sarah Cassidy is a child psychologist and author working out of Athboy, as well as cognitive behavioral therapy and exposure therapy. Sarah added virtual reality therapy to her services in 2017.
So they're telling you about a fear of something happening when they're at a party. If you're using virtual reality therapy and you could almost like step into that situation with them and you're seeing people approaching you at a party and, you know, you've got all these thoughts and feelings cropping up in the moment and you're sitting there with them in this virtual reality setting and you can tackle it right there in the moment. It's very, very real. It's definitely next level therapy.
For the moment, Sarah has discontinued her use of VR therapy due to the expense. But bigger players with better products have entered the market in recent years.
We know that 80% of people with phobias and other anxiety disorders don't get treatment because it's either too expensive, there's a stigma, or hard to access due to location.
Adam Hutchinson is the CEO of OVRcom, a tech company that aims to make clinically proven mental health treatments more accessible.
So the way it works is that someone will download the OVRcom smartphone app, the headset. It's like a higher-end Google Cardboard headset will have arrived in their mail. They put their smartphone into this headset that we send them, and then they start their virtual reality exposure therapy. So, for example, our Fear of Flying program is a really popular one right now. They'll go through a range of different environments from, you know, driving to the airport, checking their luggage in, boarding the plane, actually being on flight. And generally, when they've gone through the course of that treatment, they've made a significant reduction in the severity of their phobia. We know this because we started a clinical trial with the University of Otago about 16 months ago. On average, in the active group, we had a 75% reduction in severity. That was really good for us. And that was generally at a cost of around $59 for 6 weeks of treatment. After we published the clinical trial, we received some interest from the NHS and that was around reducing waiting lists, providing an intervention to help people that had a particular needle phobia and social anxiety.
Could Overcome help ease waiting lists here in Ireland too?
We did get an inquiry from, is it HSE in Ireland, the health service? And we're still sort of working with them on a Fear of Dogs program.
Well, guys, very soon the only thing we'll have to fear could be fear itself. Or phobophobia, as it's technically known.
Moncrief, brought to you by Avant Money. Think you're getting the best value from your bank? Think again. Weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.